Well, good morning, everybody. It's my second hat for today. Just a funny story that happened to me last night. I was laying in my bed listening to worship music, and all of a sudden I could smell this really nice, sweet fragrance, and I'm like, wow, maybe God's visiting in my bedroom. And I kept like smelling stuff, trying to figure out what it was, and I'm smelling the hand sanitizer. Nah, that's not it. And I'd lay back down, I'd get this smell, and I'm like, wow, something smells really good. And I'm like, oh boy, John's not here, and boy, it could be having a visitation of God or something. And I'm like searching for this smell, and I have John's Bible next to my nightstand, and I pick up the Bible and smell it. And it smells like John's cologne. So it really wasn't the presence of God. It was just my husband leaving his scent behind just to remind me that he is near and dear even. But I kept smelling this thing. I was like, wow, that smells really nice. But it must be on this Bible here, because if you want to smell, you can smell. It smells pretty good. But and talking about smelling, I was really praying about what to talk about today, and I came up with this topic, and it's called stinking thinking. You know, do you ever have some stinking thinking, and it doesn't smell all that good, you know? And you know, I was just thinking, there's so many things in my own life that I think I do some stinking thinking about. And so I probably wrote this message more for myself than anybody else, but I came across this one website, and there were these statements, and I thought, you know, I wonder how many of these statements describe how you feel sometime, and some of them about how I feel sometime. Sometimes we might feel like, I want to be free from ungodly habits and patterns of behavior. And you know, because I work with human behavior a lot, that's basically my job, is to shape behavior from one behavior into a better behavior, especially in children. So I was thinking about, you know, about how do we get our behavior to be shaped differently than what it is, and how the Bible says about renewing our mind, and really renewing our mind is one step in being able to shape our behavior. It's like, I don't want the same things that I know displeases God over and over again. Why do I keep doing those things that I know displeases him over and over and over again? I want to stop giving into this lifestyle of the world. Or I want my life to be changed in something that honors and glorifies God. And I know, you know, we come and we want these things, but it's like, how come we just keep staying in the same behaviors? And I'm thinking in myself, I can change everyone's behavior and want to change everyone's behavior, but it's so hard for me to change my own behavior. I want to do the right thing for the right reason. I'm tired of pretending that my motivations are pure. You know, it's like, I'll go do stuff, but I'm thinking, what's my motive? Is my motive to look good, or is it really because I really want to do what's right? Like, God, work on my motivation for doing things. I want to live for others out of love instead of obligation. Or I want to be released from guilt. You know, I've done these things over and over again. I just want to be released from guilt. Or I want to serve God out of thankfulness instead of religious duty. Like, I don't want to just come to church because it's Sunday and that's what I should be doing, or doing some things because, you know, the pressure's on. You should do this. You should give to the mission fund, or you should do stuff. I want to have a heart where I want to do it because it's what I want to do, with a thankful heart, and not because I feel some pressure of this religious organization that makes me do these things. I want my life to be an act of worship, whether I'm in church or outside of the church. Why can I worship so freely in here? And as soon as I leave those doors, it's like it goes down the tubes. Why can't I be like this? And I don't know if any of those statements are you. Maybe one, maybe two, maybe all, maybe none. If none of them are you, that's good. But I know that there's so many things in my life that I feel like I really need to be working on. Sometimes I think, why can't my life match the sermon? you know, Pastor John preaches really good sermons, and I come and I sing these really good songs, and make me more like you, Jesus. Do I really mean that? I mean, the words sound good. And, you know, I sing these songs and the songs sound really good. And at that time, I really mean it. And then as soon as you leave, it's like, where did those songs go? Like, I felt compelled in my heart during that moment. Yes, that's what I want. And then why is it so hard to keep going and keep doing those things that we know we should be doing? Because sometimes then I just feel like you just get bogged down in the mud and the muck of the everyday world, because we live in this world that, you know, they don't tell you life is good with Jesus. They don't make it easy to be a Christian. There's nothing easy about following God. There's nothing easy about being a Christian. It's very difficult. It's easy in here. It's easy when you go on a mission trip. It's even easy when I'm with the Chinese people all week. That was easy. Why is it easy? Because I was focused. I wanted my life to be a reflection. Why isn't it easy all the time? Why isn't it easy with my boss who gives me a really hard time? It's really hard to love her sometimes. Why isn't that easy? Why is it easy sometimes and not others? God, make me always be the same, no matter where I am, thinking the same things. That's my prayer for myself. And I'm like, why can't I sometime get a hold of that? Paul said it well. He said, I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate, I do. Why are we like that? Why don't we do that which we know we should do? And I hate it when we do the things that we shouldn't. I was glad that Paul wrote that, because I know Paul was human too. And it gives me hope that if Paul wrote that and he felt that way, I feel that way sometime too. But Paul also said, don't keep staying that way. It's not about hating that and saying, well, it's okay, I just can't do it. That's not what it's all about. You know, and if you really admit it, there might be some time in that little part, inner part of your heart that you're thinking, you know what? I'm not sure if this Christian thing is really what I can do. You know, being this Christian, it's like really hard. And I'm not sure all the time that this is, I just can't seem to get it all the time. And it just sometimes just seems so hard. So because it's hard, then we just repeat the things over and over and over again. And the behavior just continues to be the same. And then you question, and you know that you shouldn't be doing that. Then you say, what's wrong with me? Why do I keep doing these things when I know I shouldn't be doing these things? And I just can't seem to get to a place where I was, like when I first found Christ in my heart, that was a good day. And everything in me, that was such a good day. Or maybe there was a time in your life where you felt so, so close to God. And then you're like, why can't I get back to that place? Why can't I get back to the place where I was at that one time in my life? So, you know, our thought patterns, the more we think about things, the more we become those things that we think about. If you think more about godly things than worldly things, you become more like God. If you think more about worldly things than godly things, you'll become more like the world. So it's like, what do you dwell on? What do we think about? Where do we spend our time thinking? Because, you know, the more you think like the world, the more you engage in the things that the world does, the more unsatisfied you really become. Because you know what? That's not how we're created. We're not created to be a part of this world. We live in the world, but we're not really being a part of it. So deep down inside, people live in depression. They live feeling unsatisfied. They're never contented. It's because we're not living out the life that God has called us to be. It's discouraging to profess Christ, but not seem to be able to live like his follower. You know, I profess to be a Christian, but then I don't live like it, being a follower of him. But you know, if you've ever felt like that, there's hope. It's not hopeless. So what do we need to do to make a change? You know that, well, you know what the problem is. I know what the problem is in my own life. I'm thinking, now how do I change that? How do I change my behavior? How do I change this stinking thinking? How do I do that? First of all, our minds do need to be retrained and they need to be reprogrammed to reflect the truth of God. And then we have these mental strongholds that may have come through traumatic things in our lives that have happened to us. Could be a death of a spouse or a parent or some kind of traumatic thing that happened. And it forms a stronghold. I work with a girl that her mother died and she blames God and she cannot move on. She cannot move on. It's a stronghold in her life. So we're praying to break down the stronghold. Certain things happen to us and it gets a stronghold and we start to believe things that aren't the truth. Because our thought life needs to be retrained and we need to reject the world system that opposes the way that God wants us to think. So we need to get a renewed mind, and the scripture talks about this. A renewed mind is a mind that has been trained to think truth, to think the truth. What is the truth? Where do we find the truth? We don't find the truth in the stuff that the government's telling us, that the news is telling us, that our neighbor is telling us. That is not the truth. We need to listen to the truth instead of the lie, or reality instead of the illusion of the world. You know, the world will tell you everyone's getting better. No, we're not getting better. We as a society are not getting better. We as a society in the world are not getting better. We need to be in line with the spirit and not the flesh. Colossians 3:10 says, "And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge and in the image of its creator." It's like every morning, I feel like as I get dressed in the morning, I need to say, I am going to put on the new self that is in the image of my creator. As you get dressed, just think, I am putting on a new self that will reflect the image of the creator. If the first thing you think about when your feet hit the ground is, I am going to put on a new self in the image of my creator, I think it's a good way to start. First thought of the day, as I get dressed, I'm going to dress in the image of my creator today. Renewing our mind, begin to think like God thinks. How would God think about this situation that I am in right now? How would God think about it? His attitude needs to become our attitude. What would God's attitude be about this situation right now? What would God's attitude be? You know, I have a boss that, boy, she frustrates me. I don't understand her and she doesn't understand me. And I thought, you know, it's been really hard dealing with someone like her. She's up and down, all around. I never know what she's thinking. And I thought, the other day, I sent a message to her. When I was driving to church last Sunday, I started thanking God for my boss. I started thanking him for her, that she's going to listen, that she's going to understand. I started thanking him for her. And I wrote her a message in an email, and I said, when I was driving to church on Sunday, I started thanking God for you. And I just sent it to her. I thought, I don't know what she's going to do with this, but I've got to change my attitude. I've got to be more like him. I needed a day off this week to go to be with the China people, and I was going to be touring an autism place. And I said, would you mind if I went? Now, I didn't do it with an ulterior motive to tell her that I was thankful. I just felt that I was starting to have feelings in my heart that I don't think God would want me to have for her. But I asked for a personal day to do it. She denied my personal day and said, you can go on a work day. So I didn't have to use my personal day. And I thought, you know, when you change your stinking thinking and you change the attitude of your heart and you start expressing the heart of God, I didn't know how she would take that comment. And when she saw me at a meeting, her heart, her eyes and her countenance was much more tender toward me than I've ever seen her in a really long time. On Friday, we had a meeting and I thought, wow, she didn't say anything. She wasn't going to be complimentary. It's not her style. But I saw her countenance change towards me. And I thought, my countenance has to change toward her. My attitude needs to be more like God. His passions need to become our passions. What is he passionate about? He's passionate about people. He's passionate about all those little things in life that sometimes we overlook. God's very passionate about us. We need to be passionate about the things that he wants us to be. And his purpose should become our purpose. What is his purpose in everyday life that we have? So we need to have a new pattern of thinking. And the old way of thinking according to the world system, it must be removed. It becomes a whole new lifestyle, a whole new way of thinking. No more submission to rage. When that person pulls out in front of you in your car, and everything in you wants to rage, no more submission to rage. That is not something that is godly. No more lust, no more overindulgence, no more depression or this feeling of hopelessness. We do not serve a God that is hopeless. So many people live in hopelessness or despair. They look at the situation and they go, is there any hope in this? We've got to overcome alcohol or drugs or our lust for money or anything else that would have power over our lives. Anything that has power over us, we need to start to get rid of. Listen to the words of this scripture. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. And there must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Those are some pretty strong words of just even joking, coarse joking, or being silly talk. Those are some pretty hefty words in that scripture. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers of them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. What are you? You are what? You are children of the light. He's saying, do not walk with children of darkness. Do not walk in darkness. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth. Trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. We're all in the learning process. We don't have it all together. It even says there, you're trying to learn. At least you're trying. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light. So as a result of this new way of thinking, our life begins to become a light and not a darkness, because we are transformed into the identity of Christ. And this is the key to living a consistent life that is holy and in the will of God. Colossians 1:21 says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death, present you wholly in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. You know, I was thinking about this. I thought, you know, on the day of judgment, when I have to stand before God, and because I'm a Christian, because I've accepted Jesus, he's going to be standing there with me. And he's going to be standing there with those nail-scarred hands and his feet and his side. And he's going to be standing there. And he sacrificed his life for me. And I'm going to be standing beside him. And I'm thinking, I had this vision. I'm thinking, wow. When I say, you know what, Jesus, I really appreciate what you did. But I didn't really think it was worth trying too hard to do anything about my own life or my own behavior. And I thought, could I really feel like that on Judgment Day? That I really didn't even try to become more like him? Yeah, you gave your whole life for me. But you know what? I couldn't even quit doing some of the things that I was doing in because I liked it. And I really didn't want to make a change. I thought, you know what? I don't want to be there on Judgment Day with this attitude because it could be as soon as I walk out of here. I don't want to be put there thinking I didn't even try to be more like him. Yet he gave it all And because of his righteousness, I can even stand there in the presence. And I thought, I don't want to be there. I don't want to say, I didn't even try. I didn't even try to renew my mind. I didn't even try to be more like you. I didn't even try to have your passion. I didn't even try to have your desire. We all deal with struggles in flesh, and our spirit wages war. We all do. So we need to always go back to a place and say, you know what, God, I need to go. I need my thought life to be changed. Colossians 3:16 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. When was the last time you taught anybody about the ways of God in any situation in your life? Did you teach anyone about Jesus even last week? Did you even talk about him in your daily workplace? Did you even breathe his name? Yet the scripture tells us to do this, to talk, to teach, wherever we are. His word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And as we spend more time exposed to his word, if you don't have time to read the word, put it on CD and plug it in your car. You can get CDs. I have it in my car. You can listen to the word as you drive. There's really no excuse for us not to be in the Word. It is the only way that we will begin to be able to change. Doug, can you put the PowerPoint up? In my line of work, I look at human behavior through an ABC analysis. It's not A, B, C, D, E, F, G. A is what happens before the behavior that you engage in. B is the behavior. C is the consequence of that behavior. I just thought I would take just a couple behaviors that we engage in as a society, perhaps some of us engaging them. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to look at an ABC analysis of certain behaviors that we do to talk about how we can renew our mind based on the scripture that is applied to that situation. Unless we put scripture to the situation, we don't know how we should be acting. So I've just come up with a couple scenarios, and I do an ABC analysis of things that I see. What happened before, what behavior did people engage in, and what was the consequence of behavior. Anything that people find pleasure in reinforces behavior to make them want to do it again. It's called reinforcement of behavior. There's punishment and there's reinforcement. Most of the things we engage in, we find some kind of reinforcement. That's what makes us do it over and over again. So how do we change the way that we think? We have to find other ways to reinforce us. So again, looking at the ABC analysis, the antecedent, the behavior, and the consequence, what happens before, what happens, what the behavior is that we need to change, and what's the consequence of the behavior. So let's look at gossip. Gossip. I didn't realize how many scriptures there were on gossip. There's like 18 different scriptures that talk about gossip alone. You know, that juicy bit of information that someone shares with you, that what is it within our human nature just makes us want to go tell somebody. Oh, I got a good tidbit. I'm not going to gossip. But yet we still tell people. So you gossip about that person. What are the consequences of gossip? Do you trust to gossip with information? So people can't trust you. You could lose a relationship with that person. You could hurt someone's reputation. You can make another person look bad to make you look good, and you can destroy a friendship just through gossip. That's just one of the, or a couple of the many things that gossip does to people. So let's apply the word to this. If we're going to renew our minds about if we are a gossiper, let's see what the word says and see how we can change our behavior. You hear some juicy news about someone, so let's apply the word to that situation. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as good for building up, as fits the occasion, that is, that it may give grace to those who hear. It says, be quiet, or compliment somebody. You hear the gossip? What are you to do? Be quiet. Proverbs 16:28. A dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisperer, I have something to say, separates close friends. If what you are about to say requires a whisper, be quiet. James 1:26. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, that person's religion is what? Worthless. So you can profess to be a religious person, and if you don't bridle your tongue, it says that your religion is worthless. So James tells you to what? Be quiet. Matthew says, I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. Ha, that one made me shudder. On the day of judgment, I will be accounted for every careless word that I speak. The consequences, you will, if you apply the word to that gossip situation, your consequence will be this. You will not be judged according to the careless words that you speak. So on judgment day, if you keep quiet when you hear the gossip, the word says you will not be judged because you did not open your mouth. You will not separate friends. You will show love for another person. You will be following the word of God and renewing your mind. You will not spread strife, and people will trust you with information. Just in the area of talking about someone, applying the word to that situation, the consequences turn out a whole lot better than if we don't do it. So how do we renew our mind? We find out what the word says about a situation in which we might be engaging in some type of behavior. Then we try to change it. And I'll tell you, when you hear the words that you will be judged for every careless word, it makes me want to think, next time I hear that juicy piece, I need to be thinking, do I really want to be judged for what I'm about to say? Lust. An inappropriate picture comes across the internet, or a good-looking person walks past, and you continue to have thoughts about just how good-looking that person is. You spend time looking, and feelings of pleasure comes, and sometimes that can lead to an addiction. Then the consequence is you can feel guilty. You can put a strain on marriage or a relationship, or even have a broken marriage just because you decided to just spend time in that situation. What does the word say about that? Same situation. Matthew 5:28. But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman, and women, that's for men too. Anyone that looks at a man or woman with lustful intent has already committed adultery in his or her heart. So what he should do? Don't look at the internet pictures, but don't look and lust is the answer to that one. 1 Thessalonians 4:3-5, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his or her own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. So don't participate in it. 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, flee from sexual immorality. Every other sin a person commits is outside the body, but the sexually immoral person sins against his own body. So what does the word say to do? Run. The consequence, you will keep your pure mind, keep your relationships healthy, stay married, and stay out of addictive behavior. Consequence is a whole lot better than the one before. Renewing our mind, applying the word to our situation. Coveting. We always see nicer things than what we have. We always see the nicer car, the nicer house, and then you get this desire to have them. So we work extra hours, takes away from the family, increases stress, increases in desire, willing to step on people to get ahead, depressed because you're never satisfied, compare yourself to others, willing to take another person's spouse like King David, and you get in debt to get things. The consequence, you could lose family, suffer from illness due to stress, never satisfied no matter how much is obtained, and the potential to walk away from the faith, which is what the scripture says could happen. If you apply the scripture to that, now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and have pierced themselves with many pangs. It's not that money is bad, it's the love of money, which is the root of evil, because of the things that we engage in, even to the point where we could wander away from the faith and pierce ourselves with many pangs, which is many bad things that happen. So Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, for he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. God chooses to be a blessing to you. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Jesus Christ. How many riches does he have? Many riches. So the consequence is it will keep you out of ruin and destruction. You will stay faithful. You will keep your family intact and you will find contentment and rest. Much better consequence than the other. And I thought, my goodness, there's so many things in my life that I need to be thinking about, applying the word to. What does the word say about these things? And today's message is not about trying to make you feel guilty because you might have slipped up or participated in something. It's not about that, because God doesn't want us to feel in guilt either. Because guilty people, it's okay to have guilt to want to make a change, but it's not good to live in guilt, because sometimes guilt will keep you away from God. Guilt is the antecedent, is I decided to do it my way. I committed a sin and now I feel guilt. I decided I didn't want to listen to what the word said. I kept wanting to do it my way over and over and over again, and now I feel guilt. But what does the word say about guilt? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So Christ understands the temptations that we have. He understands the frailties that we have. He understands how we think. But the word also says, don't stay in that thinking process. The word says, renew your mind. Renew your mind so that you do not have to suffer the consequences of what happens if you do not renew your mind. And how do we renew our mind? The word is what will renew your mind. Even when I was thinking on some of those scriptures, I'm like, you know what? If that was applied to my heart when I come up against that situation and I know exactly what the word says, my conscience will kick in and will keep me from engaging in the behavior that I should not be engaged in. But if I don't know what the word says about a situation, which is no excuse, well, if I don't know about it, I won't have to worry about it. Applying the word will help you become more like Christ. And on that judgment day, when you stand before the Father with Jesus by your side, you can say, Father, I applied the word as much as I could. I have asked for forgiveness when I have fallen. I am in the process of renewing my mind. I know I'm not perfect. I'm not going to live in guilt because I know what you did for me, but I have tried my best. pushing every hindrance aside, out of my way. I want to know you more. I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to walk in your way. I want to change my behavior. I don't want to stay the same. And our promise is, and if you faithfully obey the voice of the Lord your God, being careful to do all his commandments that I command you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, if you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your ground, and the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your herds, and the young of your flock. Blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed will you be, it says, if you are being careful to do all the commandments that he says. Blessed will you be. You will not need to covet something. You will not need to do things that you should not be doing. You should not have to try to get some kind of a drug to make you feel better. You should not have to do this, because if you follow the commands, apply the word to your situation on a daily basis, the Lord says, I will bless you. Now and through eternity, you shall be blessed just by renewing your mind. So to sum it up, how do you renew your mind? Stop what you're engaging in now. Think about the consequences of your actions. If you do this, this is what will happen. But if I do this, this is what will happen. Apply the scripture to that. Change the consequence. Think of the consequences of your actions. Ask for forgiveness and start over again. Renew your mind, have peace, be an example, apply truth, and enjoy the consequence of following Jesus. Today, if there is something that you feel as though you would like help with as far as just getting you started on the process of renewing your mind, we will open up the altar for a time where you can come and just say, Father, I need help in this area of renewing my mind. I don't want to stay in the same pattern. I don't want to continue doing these things. I need you to help me. I need you to help me even want to read the scripture. I need you to help me apply the things of your word to my life on a daily basis so that I can become more like you, so that I can stand before you during the day of judgment, and I won't have to answer for stuff that was just silliness that I just shouldn't have participated in. So if you would like today to be the first day of the first step of renewing your mind, just come to the altar, or as we pray, may it be your prayer, the Father, today, I'm going to take the first step of renewing my mind. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you, Father, for your word that you've given us. Oh, Lord God, I come before you even myself this morning, Father. And I know, Lord God, that I fall short so many times, Lord God, that in my heart I need more of you, God. I need you to change my thoughts, Father. Make me more like you, Jesus. Father, I confess sin, Lord, in my life that I just haven't been able to just break through. Father, I just want to make sure that my life is a living reflection of who you are.